Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this fourth Sunday of Lent. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Isn't it wonderful that a skeptic can always have second thoughts and change his or her mind? I'm going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, deep into the Lenten season, our thoughts are fixed on your cross this day. We thank you that you were willing to endure the pain, and through your behavior on that cross, brought one man to his senses, and a skeptic changed his mind. Lord, we pray today that we may change our minds too, if we are not close to you, and that your Holy Spirit, speaking through the Word, may bring us into a living, personal relationship with Christ our Savior. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
I'd rather be led by his name, his hand.
Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed for the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Oh, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death.
Friends in Christ, seeing is believing. That is a creedal statement of the skeptic. We're kind of skeptical people, aren't we? All of us know what skepticism is about. We sometimes become skeptical of people, especially when they have let us down. We are skeptical of a particular make of an automobile if we have had two or three of the same make, and none of them have served us well. But then we can take a look at that person or that automobile and have second thoughts and change our mind. That's what happened with the Roman centurion who, after watching Jesus, had second thoughts and he changed his mind. This man was a sergeant major who had seen many people die, but he had never seen a man die like this one. He had been in charge of Jesus, the prisoner, since the priest had turned him over to the Roman authorities. During that time, he watched Jesus, saw how he responded to the cruelty of his enemies. Rather than curse them, he prayed for them. He showed mercy to a fellow prisoner. He could have turned around and told him to mind his own business. But instead of that, when the prisoner asked, "O Lord, will you remember me when you come in your kingdom?" he turned and gave him the assurance, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." That centurion sat and looked, wondered about this person. By the prisoner's demeanor, in death, Jesus had witnessed to his faith, and he had seen the righteousness of truly a great man. He had also seen other things about Jesus. And so when all began to take place, when there was darkness over all the land, when the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split, when the tombs broke open and the bodies of the holy people who had died were raised to life, he said, "Enough is enough." And then he, the centurion, and those with him who were guarding Jesus decided, "Surely he is the Son of God." And a skeptic had second thoughts. You can be sure, friend, that when many went home that day, they realized that they had not put to death an ordinary person, but there was something entirely different about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was, he is the Son of God. And that's what we pray in this Lenten season will happen in the lives of many, many people who today do not know him. And so we pray for those of you who listen to the radio broadcast. We pray for believers and unbelievers alike, that we'll be strengthened in our faith if we are believers, and we will be converted and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ if we are among those who are skeptic regarding the gospel, that in Christ Jesus we have the promise of the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. I think we can say, as I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, that to a greater or a lesser degree, all of us can identify with this centurion who finally said, surely, he was the Son of God. Take, for example, the person St. Paul. He was a man who was beyond being just a skeptic. He was a complete unbeliever. There was no one who hated Jesus Christ and the Christian movement any more than Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. You can read all about it in that exciting chapter, the 9th one, in the book of Acts. He was a person who was so thankful that Christ had been put in his place, that he had been crucified. He certainly did not believe in his resurrection. And now he felt that it was important for the faithful to Judaism to see that this Christian movement was completely blotted out, and those who would not give in and succumb to the demands that no longer should they speak in the name of Jesus Christ, they too should be put to death. And so it was on his way to Damascus to bring back some Christians in order that they may be persecuted in Jerusalem, God spoke to Paul. He went to the ground and he cried out, Lord, what is it? And then Jesus Christ speaks to him. It is a beginning of St. Paul's conversion. It went on. I don't know how long it took. He was led into the city of Damascus, down to Straight Street, got into the home of Ananias. And Ananias had been told by the Lord that he was to instruct Paul. And during the course of this time, Paul confessed his faith in Jesus Christ, and Ananias baptized him into the name of God. And then we are told in the scriptures that he went on to Arabia and he stayed there for about 3 years and the Holy Spirit continued to work with him. The unbelieving, cynical, skeptic mind of Paul was changed. He had second thoughts. And he who was the enemy of the cross became one of Jesus' most faithful. That's just one person in the scriptures. And so, in order that we may find it a little closer to home, let's turn around and look. Look into our own group. Perhaps you know of somebody, or maybe you are someone, who at one time had been taught the teachings of the Christian faith. You had gone to a Sunday school. You perhaps had gone to a confirmation class. You had learned the teachings of the Christian faith. You had learned who Jesus Christ was, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And then you decided, well, this really doesn't make sense, does it? How can you ever put that all together, that a person by the name of Jesus suffering and dying at the cross of Calvary had paid the price for my sins, and if I would believe in him, they would all be forgiven, and I would have a place in the kingdom of heaven? How can that all be? It just doesn't make sense. And so you walked away and you said, well, I'm not going to bother myself with it. Now there's a whole world before me. I'm going to take care of those things that are out there that are really pertinent to this day. But then the years went by and you began to see that there was something lacking in your life. May I be speaking to some of you today? You walked away, you were skeptical. But then you thought back on your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, and you saw the peace and the order that was in their lives in comparison to yours. And you began to wonder, have I really thrown something away? Now, as a skeptic, you are beginning to have second thoughts. And then the day came that your life was turned around. You had some experiences in your life that began to give you second thoughts, perhaps. You were no longer 19 years of age and presumably thought you knew it all. But now you were 30 and 40 and you had tasted life. You knew your own weaknesses and you knew that you needed help. Where were you going to go? And then you remember that passage of scripture, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And you began to wonder, what is this? What is the meaning of this? What is the meaning? Now you are really having second thoughts. And it's at that particular time you find yourself back in the church, back listening to what is being said in a Christ-centered sermon. And you decide, yeah, that's for me. I need to come back. And so the second thoughts brought you back to a childlike faith. That's conversion. That's spiritual awakening. That's what we cry out for as this gospel of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed today around the world. You see, friend, how important it is for us, how important it is that we sow the seed in our children's minds and hearts. How important it is that we have in each one of our churches a strong Sunday school, where we know that in every single class, God's word is being taught to those children. How important it is in those churches where we still have confirmation instruction, that be the very, very best that it can possibly be. There was a day, if the church failed, the home would pick it up, and it's still true in some cases, but not as many as it once was, for there are many thousands and tens of thousands and millions of homes who have children. They grow up in those homes, and they never hear their father or their mother say anything to them about their relationship with God. It is here that the Church of Jesus Christ must be exceptionally strong. This is not a time to entertain our children in the confirmation classes of the Sunday schools. Some may say, well, I'm bored. And parents say, well, the psychologists say that I can chase them right out of the church. Maybe some of them will go. We see it happening again and again. But when they go, let them go knowing what the Word of God really has to say. And I believe on the basis of the Word of God that they will come back. We're not to be afraid that we have bored them. Oh, that doesn't mean that we should not do our best to teach them as vitally as we possibly can. But what we are there for is to be instruments of the Holy Spirit. All we can do is teach this word from Genesis to Revelation and then ask that the Holy Spirit will do his work. And if it is not done when they're 14, 15, 16 years of age, just wait until they're 40 or 50 or even 60 and see how God has still been at work in their lives. Let them walk with Jesus Christ. Let them see him in his love. And see what happens as that which was down deep in the subconscious mind suddenly is brought to the conscious mind and there is a spiritual awakening. Perhaps I speak today to some of you who have come from one of those homes where you have never really found out what the Christian faith was all about. Perhaps you're thinking, well, the Christian faith means that I keep the golden rule, I've learned that, and I don't know the Ten Commandments very well, but there's something about not swearing and going to church and honoring your father and your mother and not committing adultery and not killing. I know some of these. Is this Christianity? Well, certainly those are precious truths in God's Word, and we're not going to minimize them in any way, but there's a lot more to Christianity than that. Christianity, friends, can be put into a very few simple basic teachings. The first one is that you are created in the image of God. And that means that you've got among other things, a mind with which you can think. You're a responsible person. You've got a will with which you can make a decision. That's very important. You have a soul that is eternal. So you put that all together, you're God's creation. And so he loves you. God loves you, not because of what you have accomplished for him or for yourself or for society, but who you are. Now you took that mind, and this is point two, and you said, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God. Or you kind of put it on the back burner, I don't want it. But God is not going to give up on you. You're a rebel. And that rebellious way of walking contrary to the way that God wants you to walk is called sin. Sin separates you from God. But God, who did not give up on you, and this is point three, sent into this world his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered and died on a cross. There he paid the price for your sins. You are raised again. He was raised again on the third day. And he has won victory for you over sin, death, and the devil. Then by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by his power alone, he creates within your heart faith, and you are able to say in faith, I trust you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. There you have entered into a personal relationship. That's what you can do today. That's what you can do whenever you want to in the quietness of your own heart. But then you begin to walk with Christ in his word, and you study it. I would suggest beginning with the Gospel of John. And if you come across some passages there, and you will, that you don't understand, because none of us understand at all, then find a believing person and say to him, help me with this. Walk with the Lord in that sense of the word and see what he does in your life. To a greater or a lesser degree, friend, we are all skeptic. I began by saying that at the beginning. We have all kinds of questions, and some of them even pertain to questioning the promises of God. You may say, tell me, why did my loved one die so prematurely? Why must I suffer? Why does God permit all of this unrighteousness in the world? Why all of these earthquakes, tornadoes, and cyclones? Why the famines and the terrible diseases in the underprivileged parts of the world? And the list of questions go on and on and on. I imagine that just asking some of the questions can cause us to be skeptical of God's first statement, I love you, and then all of these bad things happening. Now, there are all kinds of answers to that, but some of them are not complete, and we have to wait until we get to heaven. As St. Paul said, now I know only in part, but someday I'm going to fully understand. But the skepticism is finally taken away as we walk with him. The centurion had second thoughts about Jesus, and he came to him. My friend, that's the gospel. That's the hope. Any skepticism about Christ, be it great or small, can be overcome when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives through God's word. Let him be lifted up in your own lives. Let him be lifted up in our churches. Let him be lifted up in our communities, and there will be spiritual awakenings as skeptics have second thoughts and come to Christ. Amen.
Jesus, bless me, dear.
Lord, we pray that we may see you through the words of Holy Scripture, and we may cast out our skeptical thoughts, trusting you as our Savior and our Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give him your peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that Pastor Larson's message today has brought you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Through the decades, we have been blessed by listeners planning ahead to help us financially. Estate gifts now make up a significant part of our yearly income and have helped us offer the gospel message to new areas. Have you considered Christian Crusaders in your estate plan? For more information, contact our office by mail or by phone. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.